Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 97, May 8, 2013. Preparing for the trip to Dayton. Good evening, everybody. It's time for Ham Nation, and I'm K9EID. I'm here in the Ozarks in Pleasant Hope, just up the street from Springfield, Missouri. And tonight we're going to be talking about getting prepared for Dayton, Ohio. And as everybody knows, on the old parking lot of Hera Arena, we have a great time with the flea market and I don't know how many hundreds of vendors, but a lot of them. So I hope that you're getting prepared. Also, Gordon West in good old California. Gordon, I bet you're all ready to go, aren't you? WB6NOA.
We are dressed and ready to head off to Dayton. We have our official Dayton pins, thanks to Joe Levine. This is the one that we had a couple of years ago. This is the one last year when there was a slight little leak in the plumbing in the middle of Dayton. And this is the one that is going to be the new button for this year. And we hope everybody stops by Joe Levine's aluminum stream trailer and picks up one of these buttons. So, Joe, thanks for sending them out to us. So, Bob, yes, all of our guests will have their bow ties, and we will be looking forward with our bow ties on to seeing all those that come to see us at Dayton and where we all get to see all the latest stuff that's out there. Back to you, Bob.
Well, we're looking forward to another great year of Dayton, and especially with the Ham Nation crew. George will be with us. George, you got your soldering iron ready? We're ready for you and your soldering iron, that's for sure.
Well, I was hoping I could pick up a good deal on one while I was there, Bob. There was a place out in the flea market last year. I had a sign that said soldering stuff on it, and that was probably my first stop.
Well, I'm going to take mine with me, but mine's not for doing any small stuff. I was soldering a coax connector on my mobile today, so that's why I got out the big dog. But you're okay, and I'm sure you'll be able to find some. Roaming around in the parking lot is always fun, but I don't get to do that because I'm too filled up inside. And back at home, Don, you're going to be taking care of things back here. Is that right? You're not going to make us this year to Dayton?
No, I'm all dressed up and nowhere to go, sadly. So no, I'll be here while the cats are away. The mouse will play. Oh, look, I froze. Isn't that nice? It's not that cold here. No, we'll hold down the fort while y'all are out there having fun. So enjoy yourselves.
Yes, somebody's got to watch things while we're all gone. So we appreciate you being here next couple of weeks. That'll be great. And of course, on the 29th of this month is our 100th show. It's going to be a blockbuster. We're going to have a lot of guests. We're going to have some special guests. And who knows what's going to happen on that night. But We want to fill you in a little bit on what's going on. Gordon, what have you have as your list of some of the places where the guys can tune in and watch the proceedings or see what's going on? You have a list of some webcams and things there?
Actually, Bob, we lost Gordo. We're trying to get him back right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I know for a fact that ICOM is going to have a webcam the whole show. So you can get a little bit closer to that action live with watching that. And the whole crew is going to be on from ICOM. Contest University, and you know, we've talked about Contest University. We've had K3LR and some of the guys on that, that really have been the father and the dreamer of this incredible thing that happens. It's a class, and it's not just to learn how to work contests. It's how to put your station together, a top-notch station, I might add. And they do this every year down at the Crown Plaza on Thursday, May 16th. They'll be doing it. And they sponsor a lot of the things that go on. So you can look up contestuniversity.com and get more information there. D-Star is going to have a lot of things going on. And of course, there again, ICOM will have most all of that stuff up on their website. So if you want to go check all that, you'll be able to do that. But there's going to be a lot of activity around that. W5KUB, you want to look in on what Tom's doing. He does this every year. He takes off on, I think, Wednesday in his car, and you can follow him and APRS and all kinds of other things. And you want to look at that, too. So that's always fun to drive along with W5KUB. Tom is a great guy, and he'll be, of course, again, transmitting live from Dayton. And that's going to be fun. George, you and Tom are good friends and stuff. You know any special things that Tom has planned this year?
I don't think Tom is going, or Tom KUB. I was thinking Tom HQA Radio. Tom HQA Radio is not going. You know, he streamed all the Contest University stuff last year. And I haven't talked with Tom Medlin. He's been so busy getting ready to pack up everything and head up that way. He is going to be over in Audio Alley, I think, near us. So he'll be indoors this year. And I assume he'll be rambling around just like he always does, too.
Yeah, he's right around the corner from Audio Alley, just at the top of the ramp. So we're excited about that because he'll be close by. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll see how that all works out. Well, I got a couple of things here that you'll want to follow, everybody. I've known Al for I don't know how long, W0ERE. It's back in the 60s, let me tell you. He's a great guy, and interestingly enough, he used to live in Illinois, but he also moved down to the Ozarks. And he is just an experimenter. He and his friend, we call him SAP, N0SAP. But the last few years, he does something extremely special. And I mean really special. He has a bunch of beacons. He's had these beacons on the air for a long time on 10 meters and 17 meters and stuff like that. But he has a 30-meter beacon, and he runs at Mobile with a 23-foot trailing wire. And it is just a hoot to watch him do this, but you can listen to his beacon, and you want to go look at his QRZ page, W0ERE. A lot of video there, and also of how you can contact him live on with his 706 on 40 meters usually. But let's take a look at a couple of the pictures. I sent some slides up, and Brian will start those out. There they are there, the two wild guys. They're just lovely people. There's a wow. They were helping me put up my tower this summer. There's a great picture of them in action. And next, you'll see their beacon. That's his portable beacon. This is a beacon that he can carry around and just put it up anywhere. It's 2.5 watts on 30 meters. But he gets this crazy idea that he should do it Mobile. But he does it with a trailing wire. And as he gets going down the road, they let out 23 foot of wire. And in the car, there it is up on the dash. And he's got all of his APRS and his repeaters. And underneath it, you can't see that, but is his 706. But I think usually Dave Sapp drives and Al operates the beacon and does all the check-ins. And it's really, really cool. And you'll want to take a listen to this because it's just wonderful. Just wonderful stuff. Here's a little bit of video, the audio from him.
So that's just a piece of wire laying on the ground and he's dragging it?
No. No, George, what it is a piece of wire. He hooks it up on the top of a Hustler antenna, but instead of the coil, it's a piece of wire. It floats. It floats about 4 or 5 foot off the ground as he's going down the road. So don't get up 20 foot behind him or you'll have a piece of wire on your hood. it's great, but it works terrific. And the signal is just wonderful. And so you want to dial this into your memories. It's 10.12925. 10.12925. And I think, was that the last slide? I think that was the last one. And I just love what he's doing. And there again, it's so experimental. And leave it to these two guys to pull off something like that. I'm really, really enthused about what they're doing. Can you hear that okay, George?
Oh, yeah. It's not real loud, but I can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you'll want to go check it out, everybody, because these guys are, as I said, they're experimenters of the first right. I love it. WZERE. Look up his QRZ page, and you'll see a lot of videos of the beacon in use and so on. So I wanted to let you guys have some fun. That's going to be a great time. Well, along with that, on Tuesday, I drive to Dayton. It's going to be a long drive from here, but I'm driving. And I wanted to put a mobile together. But how do you do this with a new car and you don't want to drill any holes? Well, thank you, MFJ, because they have come up with the way to do that. And here's how it happens. So let's go through some of these slides, Brian. These are, there's what we have with the car. I mean, you know, what do you do? Now notice the little red arrows. There's two pieces of Velcro. That's all I had to do inside the car. No holes, Velcro. All right. Next, we get a view of the actual head of the 7000 mounted on that Velcro. And it just fits perfectly for where I want. I still get to use my water bottles, too. I can put them in there. And then next, you'll see the close-up of that and how compact it is. And only one wire running under my seat, which is where I put the transmitter. And next, we'll see the mount. That's the secret. I found this. This was cool because you can't just use the head. That won't work. It's got to be at an angle. That was a piece of plastic that they had out in the in Home Depot that it was a display holding up cards for hangers and stuff. And it was just a piece of display, and they were throwing it away. I got another shot of that here, and it angles it. And there you'll see it. That's the top side of it. You've probably seen these before. The little slits in it that let them put their cardboard slots. Well, I took three of those sections and cut them down, and bingo. It worked great because it gave me the angle I needed. So that's how I mounted, and I mounted that with Velcro, and that attaches to the mount. Now, underneath the seat, this is looking at the back of the seat, is the transmitter. No problem there. That worked out real easy. No problem. I did put a piece of Velcro on it so it don't slip around, but it's not going anywhere. But then we come to the next big deal. And the next big deal is how do you mount the antenna? And you do that with this cool little mount that MFJ has. You take your license plate off, and then this mounts in the place where the mount where the license plate did. The only problem I had was it's a little, it's made for a 2 meter antenna. So good old SAP in zero SAP that you saw a little bit ago, he took that and put some eighth inch aluminum and backed it up real heavy. Now, there is something everybody has to have in your mobile, the MFJ-259 antenna analyzer. I carry it all the time because you can tell exactly where your antenna is and keep the SWR right where it should be. And you don't have to go tuning your carriers and all that on the air. Do it before you get started on your trip. Put it where you're going to operate. And usually the antenna is broadbanded enough. But, boy, that's a real help. And, of course, the whole and there it is, the towering glory of the Hustler antennas. I've got three or four different resonators, 75, 40, 20, 10. But I'll be using 40 and 20 most of the time. But what a very slick, cool way to let your car become mobile and not drill any holes. One thing that I did note, though, is that with a heavier antenna like this, most license plates got little plastic things that go in the body. And I did take those out, and I found a screw to fit that. So the screws on the MFJ plate actually go into the metal, so it won't come off. It's just great. Check it out. It's really nice. And thanks to MFJ for that great idea, and thanks for Enduro SAP for helping me reinforce it a little bit. I'm really happy. I've worked several guys on it. So, hey, Gordo, are you back yet?
I am. Yeah, I pushed the wrong button, but that is very, very cool, Bob, and a great way of installing that. And Joe Levine, I had a brain fade. It's an Airstream that you can get these great little buttons at. So be sure and check them out at Dayton. Now, when we're at Dayton, again, look for those of us with a bow tie and follow us to some of the demos that we'll be doing in our own booths. And Bob has his new book. Look at this. Congratulations, Bob. It reads well, and I'm just delighted to see that your new book is out and playing. And boy, for those wanting to get on VHF or HF, the book tells all. And at Dayton, we've got an invite from Alinco. They want to show us their new software-defined radio. ICOM, of course, has the new 7100 HF62 440 D-Star multi-mode mobile or base rig with a small detachable head. And ICOM is also going to be showing off their brand-new ID51A dual bander with D-Star. Kenwood, Bob has that big, hefty radio, and Phil says, come on by, don't even try and lift it. The TS990S, high frequency plus 6 meters, about 60 pounds of radio, AC power supply built in. Yahoo, a little too heavy to cart off, but we can't wait to see it. Yezu says, look at our DX3000 HF plus 6 meters. And I think you've got one, Bob, in the background. Yezu also is going to be showing off a brand new rig, the FTM400DR. It's a VHF, UHF, mobile, or base. The head remotes, it's got APRS built into it. And the DR tells me that it's probably going to have digital. Remember, Yezu's coming out with their own digital, the C4FM FDMA, and that's built in, of course, in their FT1DR that they're going to be showing at Dayton. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Yezu digital format, which is different than the ICOM digital format. And we're just going to have to wait and see where Yezu's going to go with it. But knowing Yezu, they're going to do something exciting. Wushan may be there, and they've got their new commercial UV6X, new Pactor modems from SCS. RT's got that brand new programming software. West Mountain Radio with every accessory you needed to ever have. Don Arnold, W6 GPS, will be there with AVMAP and showing how AVMAP and Kenwood radios really make a fine pair. ARRL will have their Travel Plus repeater directory guide that will take repeaters on a route, and you can punch them right in, and your radio via software from RT will automatically load them on your route. There'll be ham exams, and we'll be giving out certificates for those of you that take and pass the ham exam. Just come on over to the W5YI booth. And Radio Club of America, Carol says we're going to have kids and a robot in our booth. So check it out, plus with Ms. Perry's seminars on both Friday and Saturday. So we look forward to seeing all of you, and I'm going to turn it back to Bob, because, Bob, you probably have the exact schedule, you and George, of when our Ham Nation casts will be taking place from the Ham Nation booth. And again, folks, look for those of us with a bow tie, and we'll be looking for you, Bob.
All right. Good stuff, Gordo. We'll have to keep a track, see if I can sneak out of the booth for a little. Well, we're very, very blessed that Dayton, Dara, the club, has allowed us, Ham Nation, to come onto the floor and have a booth there. And they were going to put it in Audio Alley. If none of you know about that, Heil Sound's been in that spot since around 78, 79. And it was just a hallway that goes between several of the halls. And it's just a nice little low ceiling hallway. Well, I have been in that spot since then. I've never moved, except instead of one booth, it now becomes, I think there's eight. Nine. It's about 100 foot long. But anyway, we've been there so much that the proprietors of the Hera Arena, they call it Audio Alley, because every year, oh, yeah, there's a guy with the audio stuff. Well, one of the reasons is not just Heil Sound, but you'll find all the audio guys there. Julius Jones, W2IHY, Time Wave will be there. W4RT, and they do all these different audio things. So we're all kind of in this really nice place. It's got a low ceiling, and it's not so noisy there. That is where Ham Nation will broadcast on Saturday. We don't know the exact time. I will have that for you next week. Leo will give us the exact time, because we're going to get to join Leo for a couple of minutes on his Saturday Tech Guy show. And we're very honored to be able to do that and speak to his audience for just a couple of minutes from the floor of Dayton, like we did last year. But on Friday, we're going to be doing a workshop forum, and that's going to happen in room 3. That's room 3 at 2:00. And the whole team is going to be there. We're so happy. All 4 of the after show nets are going to be there. All the net controls will be there. And we're very excited. Mike will be there, Dale, Al, and, of course, Bill, K5LN. They'll all be there. And George, Gordon, Julian, gosh, I'm going to miss somebody. we're all there. I think our Wikipedia Dan's going to be there. So who knows? Anybody that has any interest in Ham Nation will be jamming this room. So look for us there if you're going to Dayton, 2:00 on Friday. And we'll see how we can do about getting some of that information to you next week on the other show. But Saturday, if you'll be watching Saturday afternoon, if you check into Tech Guy Labs with Leo, you'll see us, and he can tell you also when we're going to be on there. So we're happy about that, and it's just going to be such a great thing. Viasat is bringing their Speedy there. I'm not sure if Brian has that picture of Speedy. They have this wonderful demo trailer, and it's got all kinds of communication stuff in it that's via their satellite network. And that's where inside of that you see on the screen, that's where Mike and the guys will be doing a remote. You'll be able to work WT6H and all the guys from there. They have special call signs that the FCC has given them. And we're so, so happy. They've worked very hard, and they're going to be in that trailer that'll be out in the west part of the flea market. And all of the guys will be there, and we're very excited about that. There's going to be W6H, W1H, N0H and N5H. They have all these calls. They worked hard to get these special event calls. You'll know more about them for the 100th show. But that's coming up, of course, for that 29th show with all the special events. And there's going to be certificates for it and so on. But from Dayton, you'll look for a WT6H. He's going to be from that trailer you just saw. He'll be operating. And, boy, we're going to have a big time working him. I'll even go out in my car and see if we can make that happen. So be watching for all of that stuff, because we're as excited as you are. We're always excited to go to Dayton. What is it, Gordon? You've been going a whole number of years. What is it about Dayton that gets in your blood about this time a little earlier? What propels us each year to go to Dayton? It's really great, isn't it? Why do we get so steamed up to go to Dayton?
Bob, I think it revolves around one word: stuff. A ham cannot have enough stuff. So we stuff ourselves with more stuff, and we drag it home, and we stuff it into drawers, because one rainy day, we're going to need that stuff to build a project. So at Dayton, you will find stuff.
What, George, if you have to have stuff, you're the stuff guy. I mean, do you take a little wagon when you go out to buy all of your parts? What do you do, Gordon? Or, I mean, George, what keeps you so propelled about going to that wonderful place we call Hera Arena?
Well, you know, Bob, I think it's kind of like nature. You know, the birds fly south for the winter, and we all kind of fly, depending on where we are, to Dayton in May. And yeah, it's a great ham fest. There's really, I've never been to anything else exactly like it. All the new manufacturers are there of the new gear, but there is so much stuff in that flea market. If you need a little part or something and you can't find it at Dayton, there aren't any more. Oh, and I want to know.
Or you don't need it.
Is Gordon going to have those fried pickles this year?
Yes, we thought for Dayton that we would go ahead and maybe fry a pickle or two at the Ham Nation Forum. So be prepared.
Be prepared. Oh, gosh. And Don, you're going to sit back here and watch all of this and make sure that the gates are closed when we come back in. Is that right, Don?
Yeah, I'll be holding down the fort. You know, I first started going to Dayton in 99, and I went every year from 99 to 2008. And then in 2009, it was our 25th wedding anniversary. So my wife and I took a trip. So since then, I've been on an every other year schedule on even years. And 2013 being an odd year, this is my year to stay home. So, yeah, and I'm Jones, and I'm itching. I really am. I'm going to be all over the HF radio trying to contact all of our special event stations. So believe me, I'm missing it. I'm living vicariously through you guys, big time.
Well, you'll want to be sure to watch out for, go up and look at W5KUB, because Tom has a webcam. Mm-hmm. He keeps it on 24 hours, I think, up there, and he roams all around, so you'll get to see a lot of things. And it's a great way to attend Dayton is through Tom's webcast, so that'll be cool. Oh, golly. Well, I could be here all night talking about Dayton. My first Dayton was 1959. I was a young teenager, and there were 600 people in the Biltmore Hotel in downtown Dayton. It started in 52, and it just has grown over the years. In 64, when they built the Hera Arena, they moved it out there, and it's just become a mecca every year, and it gets larger and larger. And these are people from all over the world. That's what really motivates Sarah and I. We have so many people come to our booth that hardly speak English, and many of them have a translator with them. We're not talking
You know what I experienced the first Dayton that my friend Steve and I went to in 1999? We're inside the main arena, and all of a sudden we hear what sounds like Clydesdale's coming up behind us. And we turned around, and there were five or six guys from Holland. and they were all wearing wooden shoes and just chattering away in Dutch. It was like the most surreal thing we've ever seen in our life. All these guys clopping around with these wooden shoes on. It was, you never know what you'll find at Dayton, and it's just, it's amazing. It really is.
It really is something. You cannot describe it. No, it's not probably the cleanest place in the world over the years, and it's derailed a little there, but we don't care. we really don't care. When you're looking at the new transceivers or the new SDR or the new antenna or the new microphone, I hope, but who cares? It's Dayton, and then you get to take it back to all of your friends, and that's really the fun of it, I think. It's just wonderful. And Gordon, when was your first year that you attended Dayton?
71 was my first year, and I don't think I've missed a single year at Dayton.
Wow. What about you, George? What was your first year?
2012. I didn't go till last year. I'd been hearing about it, you know, for 20 years or better, and just had never made the trip. Tommy and Jimmy went one year and came back telling me about it. And last year I just had to go, and it's one of those things that's on my perpetual calendar now. If there's any way I can get there every year from now on out, I'm going to. You know, I don't remember the 59 Dayton that well. I was only 3 years old, so I'm going to make up for it now.
Cut it out. You're going to show that I'm just an old codger, an old man, which I am. But like I tell a lot of people, I know I look like I'm 40 and I act like I'm 12. So like Joe Walsh tells me all the time, that's okay. You can do it because you act like you're 12. Okay. Well, anyway, I have so much fun. And thank you for letting me share it here every Wednesday night and whenever you hear me on the air. Well, we're going to head down to Dayton. See, I talk about it, it's in my brain.
I wish.
We're going to head down to Don, and he's going to tell us about some news, because, Don, I do think you probably have other news than Dayton this week, right?
Yeah, we have a couple of items. You mentioned quickly about Tom, W5KUB. You know, Tom always does the Huntsville Ham Fest, which is exactly 3 months past Dayton, 3 months after Dayton, third weekend in August, and that's where we do the Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award. And he always broadcasts that live along with the rest of Huntsville. So, yeah, we're greatly indebted to W5KUB. W5KUB.com is a great website. So let's go ahead and get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1864, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, May 8th, 2013. IARU Region 1 held its interim meeting in Vienna, Austria, the weekend of April 20th through the 21st.
HF topics included preparations for the WRC-15, which includes the possibility of a worldwide amateur allocation at 5 megahertz. Other proposals included trying to align some of the HF band plans between regions and the De-Expedition Code of Conduct. A number of other papers covered contest matters, support for newcomers via JOTA, operation of unmanned stations, and discussion on a possible band plan for the new 472 to 479 kHz amateur allocation. For VHF and microwaves, there were a total of 34 papers, which covered technical operating, band planning, and contest matters. Areas of focus were improvements to IARU contests and accommodating digital voice, beacon, and TV developments. Band plans at 4 meters, 2 meters, and 70 sems came under particular scrutiny. Pressure on spectrum, particularly at 2.3 gigs, was also discussed. Several topics are expected to be further developed in time for the next Region 1 conference in the autumn of 2014. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, in Nottingham, in the United Kingdom.
A well-known group of DXers say they're working on getting permission to operate from North Korea, which is the most wanted DXCC entity in the world. Amateur Radio Newsline, Cheryl Lassick, K9BIK.
The Intrepid DX Group, in partnership with the Worldwide DX Group, says that for the past 4 years that they have been working with professionals in the business and tourism industries who are actively doing business in North Korea. In a widely circulated press statement, the organizations note that they have prepared a comprehensive, multifaceted proposal which has been delivered to the North Korean officials via their emissary located in China. Also, that several members of the combined group's leadership and advisory team have made multiple visits to the region and are advising the overall groups accordingly. The DXers say that they are using the same techniques that were successful in opening up Kurdistan, the South Sudan, and Yemen to de-expedition activity. They add that they're leveraging their ideas and contacts towards the goal of a major de-expedition over a four-week period from within the North Korea border.
So far, no date for such an operation to take place has even been speculated. Aton Corporation has a new product that may well be of interest to hams involved in emergency response operations or those who live in regions where getting accurate emergency alerts are a necessity. Jim Davis, W2JKD.
Called the Zone Guard, it's a portable battery-operated AM/FM radio that receives NOAA weather and specific area message encoding, or SAME, local emergency messages. The Zone Guard radio will also flash an internal three-level high-visibility color alert light bar and emit warning sounds when local warning messages are activated. On top of that, it's also programmable, so multiple geographic areas can be programmed into it for emergency message reception. Best of all, the price for this little gem is under $40 on the street and available where most consumer electronics are sold.
The Zone Guard radio also carries a Red Cross identification brand on it, and a portion of the sales profits go to that organization. And finally this week, the changing of the guard in amateur radio continues with sad news of the passing of our longtime friend and colleague, Joseph J. Joe Schrader, Jr., W9JUV, Tuesday, April 30th. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
When he passed away at age 83, Joe Schrader, W9JUV, was perhaps best known as the founding editor of the weekly HR Report newsletter published in the 1970s by Ham Radio Magazine. This was the first independent amateur radio news source other than the ARL's W1AW broadcasts and its director's letters. In addition to HR Report, Joe was also a member of the Ham Radio Magazine editorial staff from its inception and continued with it for many years. He also served as a reporter for this news service during our formative years as the Westlink Radio News. Joe was first licensed as W9JUV back in 1946. An accomplished DXer, he was active on all bands from 160 meters through 432 megahertz. His ham radio achievements included being on the DXCC honor roll since the 1970s, achieving 6-meter DXCC, worked all continents, and worked all states. W9JUV was a life member of the ARL, AMSAT, and Quarter Century Wireless Association. Over the years, he held various positions with the ARL, with AMSAT, and with the Old Old Timers Club. He was also a member of the PJ2T contesting group, the Northern Illinois DX Association, and the Radio Club of America.
Joe Schrader, W9JUV, is survived by his wife of 55 years, Janet, N9LGI, his son Brad, daughter Elizabeth Anderla, and two grandchildren. Bill has a lot more on the life and legacy of W9JUV in this week's Amateur Radio Newsline Report. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
There you go. There's your news of the week. You know, we're talking about Hamfest in Dayton. Here's a little something that I picked up at a Hamfest not too long ago, actually, about 4 or 5 years ago, I guess. And I kept it in a little drawer and I forgot that it was in there. But what? Look at this. This is just, and this is one of the things you'll probably only find at something like Dayton, but look at this little clock. That is an ICOM clock.
Wow.
I forget what radio that this was a premium. If you bought one of their high-dollar radios, you got one of these. And I think I paid $20 for it. I put a new battery in it today, and it works great. But neat little ICOM clock. So I'm going to set that here in my shack, and I'm going to drool over it. Speaking of drooling, Hamfest time, spring fever time. If you're looking for a new toy to take on the road, make sure that you bring a nice handheld with you. En route, on location, on the go, ICOM has got you covered. Let's talk about the ICT-70A. This is a dual-band FM handheld. It's a classic 2-meter, 70-centimeter handheld. Very easy to program, simple keypad. Look at this thing. It's gorgeous. It's a basic handheld, but it has some differences. Large backlit alphanumeric display. Two versions are available, the ICT-78 HD version, which is the full package, has the radio, the BP-265 1900 milliamp lithium-ion battery pack, and the rapid charger. Now, you can also get the T-70A Sport, which is the same radio, but it has a AA alkaline case rather than the charger and the rechargeable battery pack. So if you do emergency stuff or if you do a lot of public service stuff, having that AA alkaline case is a great feature because if your battery dies, you can just go down to your local Rite Aid or wherever and grab you some AA's. Keep some in your pocket, and you'll be ready for all-day operation. It's very tough. It's military tough, very compact, fits comfortably in your hand. You can see it right there. It's a perfect size. 700 milliwatts of loud and clear audio, very important, again, in an emergency or a public service use. You can operate and charge simultaneously with an external DC power supply. Fast scanning features, has all the decoding, your PL tones, your digital PL, everything else. Check out this radio. It's a great radio, perfect Hamfest radio, perfect anytime radio, really. Make sure you visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. You can find more information on ICOM's line of HF, VHF, and UHF radios, including the T-70A, the ICOM 7000 that Bob has in his car and I have in my Jeep, and just everything that ICOM has. And you can also enter in ICOM's weekly drawing for ICOM swag, like T-shirts and hats, including this one right here. Check this out. Come back to me real quick. This is the giant ICOM T-shirt of love. This is, I can't see my screen, but there you go. It says ICOM Ham Crew on it, and the back is just as cool as the front because it's exactly the same. So this is the shirt that you can win from the ICOM swag site there, icomamerica.com/hamnation. All the official rules are there. Check out all the previous winners and find out more about that. And, of course, now George has information on the big drawing, the monthly drawing that they have from ICOM with the radio. George, you want to pick that up for us?
Yeah, Don, let me just comment on that T-shirt. That's a great invention for hams because you cannot put it on backwards.
That's so exactly right. That's right. It may feel funny, but it looks just as good.
Exactly. On the monthly contest, we've got a great prize this month coming up. And remember, you can register after each episode of Ham Nation. So there's 5 episodes in May. That means you can register 5 different times. So after the show tonight, go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register, and you could possibly be the lucky winner of this month's prize, which is going to be a great ICV8000 75-watt VHF mobile. It's the most powerful mobile in its class. It's got dynamic memory scan, exclusive weather alert scan. It's easy to operate, and it's got the power you need for the ultimate 2-meter mobile experience. That's going to be a great prize for someone. So get your name in the hat for that. And, you know, I've been building that AMFM radio kit, and a lot of our viewers have been building along at home. We took a break last week because I ran into a little snag in it. But I finally figured that out thanks to the help of the folks at Alenco who built that. And they sent me some resistance measurements. And when I began taking those, I found out immediately what was wrong. So let's take a look and see.
This week on Smoke and Solder, it's back to building our AM-FM radio kit. This week, we're going to build the first AM-IF amplifier. But wait a minute, didn't we build the second AM-IF amplifier last week? Well, that's correct, but we're building the radio backwards. We're starting at the audio amplifier and working our way back up to the front end. Our first part this week will be R34, and that is a 1 megohm resistor. And we're also going to install test point 6. Now, we need to be careful that this test point does not touch the can of the coil. And we've got Q8, which is a 2N3904 transistor, same as one we used last week. It's polarized, and you notice it's got a flat side here on it, so we match that with the flat side on our PC board. And we've got C35, which is a 0.02 microfarad. And only one more part this week, and that is C37, which is a 1 k-ohm resistor. And we've got one more part, and that is R37, a 1 k-ohm resistor. And now let's solder these in place. Last week, I ran out of our lead-free solder, so this week, I'm back to using my standard old Kester a 6337 mix. It's not sticking to the board quite as fast as the lead-free solder. And that's it. So now off to the testing stage. Our first test here will be to check the bias voltage on Q8. And to do that, we connect our meter up to ground, which is test point 15 as always. And we're going to measure the voltage at test point 5. Now I've got my meter set to the 2-volt scale here. And we've got 1.486 volts. Our expected reading is approximately 1.5 volts, so we're right where we should be. Now, our next test here is to measure the current of Q8. We'll connect the ground lead of our meter to test point 15 as before, and we're going to connect the positive lead to the emitter of Q8. And we're measuring 0.86 volts. The expected reading is approximately 0.8 volts, so I'm going to say we're good on that. Now we're going to measure the AC gain of the first IF amplifier, and I was having a problem where I just didn't get enough signal at TP4. Nothing I tried would give me 4 volts peak to peak. I noticed when I connect my oscillator to the circuit that the level of the oscillator dropped substantially, so I knew something was wrong. And after talking back and forth with the folks at Alinco a few times, trying to determine what was wrong, they sent me some resistance measurements at different points. The first one I checked was from TP6 here up to the left side of R38. It should have been 1.7 ohms, and I had infinity, and that told me something was wrong. On closer investigation, I found out that I put TP6 here in the wrong hole. It actually should be in this hole above right here. So where it is right now, it's at ground, so no wonder it was dropping my oscillator signal. So I'll fix that, and then we'll run our test. Now we've got our oscillator set to 455 kilohertz, and we're injecting through a 0.001 microfarad capacitor up here to test point 6. And we've got our oscilloscope connected here to test point 4. And, of course, ground for both of these are connected right here at test point 15. So what we need to do now is adjust our oscillator output to where we've got approximately 4 volts showing on our scope. And then peak it right here. And that looks like we're peaked right there. So now we need to measure the voltage at the base of Q8. We're on the 10 millivolt per division scale, so that's 10, 12, 14, I'm going to call that 16 millivolts. One thing I didn't show you earlier is that you need to put a jumper here from the right side of R38 on to test point 3 to disable the AGC on the unit. I tried it without that, measuring here at TP4. I could turn my oscillator anywhere I wanted, and the value was always exactly the same. That's because the AGC was doing its job, holding it at one particular level. Now, since we know the input and output voltages of this circuit, we can calculate the gain of the first IF amplifier. And that'll be the output voltage, which is 4 divided by the input voltage, which is 0.016 volts. And that gives us a gain of 250, approximately the same gain that we had on the second IF stage. Now let's take a look at how the circuit works. The operation of the first IF amplifier is the same as the second IF amplifier, with one important difference. The gain of the first IF amplifier decreases as the AGC threshold is passed to keep the audio output constant at the detector and prevent overloading. This is accomplished by making the voltage on the base of transistor Q8 lower as the signal strength increases. Since the voltage from the base to emitter is fairly constant, the drop in voltage at the base produces a similar drop in voltage at the emitter. This drop lowers the voltage across R37 and reduces the DC current through R37. And since all the DC current from the emitter of Q8 must go through R37, the DC current of Q8 itself is therefore lowered. When the DC current in the transistor lowers, its effective emitter resistance increases, and the AC gain of transistor Q8 is equal to the AC collector load of Q8 divided by its effective emitter resistance. So raising the value of the effective emitter resistance lowers the AC gain of Q8. Now next time, we're going to continue building our AM radio with the AM mixer, AM oscillator, and the AM antenna. Now, this will be the final part of the AM section. If you'd like to build along, you can get the kit from parts-express.com. It's part number 320-084. And we found out a pesky problem. It was the nut behind the soldering iron. But I got it put back in the right place, and we're back on schedule with it now. You know, for last week's weekly contest, I asked the question, what happens when the impedance of an electrical load is equal to the internal impedance of the power source? Well, we had a winner in that contest, and it's Larry, WB9KMW. And he said, I believe the source can deliver maximum power to the load. And that's correct, Larry. Congratulations. You win a copy of Morse Code Breaking the Barrier by Dave Finley in one IRZ, courtesy of MFJ Enterprises. It'll teach you how to get your Morse code speed up. For next week, we've got a different question here. How many people attended Dayton Hamvention in 2013? If you think you know the answer to that, send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we're going to give you a copy of Constructing HF Wire Antennas, the great book by Jerry Busting that you can find at your local ham radio dealer. And one other ICOM contest we've got going on, we're going to give away for Field Day an IC7200 HF transceiver, the one sitting right over here, or one like it. This one is in olive drab military color from Gigaparts Custom Paint Shop. The one we'll be giving away will either be that, or it'll be the Vietnam-era camouflage, or the new Digital Desert camouflage. And the winner gets to choose which one they'd like to have. But not only that, Gigaparts is also going to throw in a Radio Waves DX80 antenna and some master and guy rope. And MFJ is throwing in a few prizes, too. They're going to throw in this MFJ 4230 MV power supply, this really small little power supply here that'll do 30 amps. And also, they're going to throw in some coax cable, and they're going to throw in their Big Ear portable antenna, which is a really nice antenna setup. I should have it sitting here so you can see it, but it's two 18-foot telescopic whips with a little coil that's adjustable on one leg of it, and it'll do 40 meters and up. No tuner needed because you can easily tune the antenna. And we've also got a Howl Sound Pro Set 3 that's going to go with this. So if you need a field day station, well, drop by amateurlogic.tv/contest and get all the details you need to register for that. It's just going to be a random drawing, so your chance is as good as anyone else. And, Bob, what have we got up next tonight?
Hey, Versa is going to have to see if I make it. I pushed the red button to see what happens when Gordo did that. But I'm back on my iPad. I want to see if this works okay, because I'm going to use this from Dayton. I might even try using this mobile a little bit. So, hey, Gordo, you hearing and seeing me okay?
Oh, yeah. You look great, Bob. In fact, you look super.
Never okay. Push the red button.
Well, that's what I keep telling myself. No, I want to do a check on this to see how this works, and I think we're going to be okay. So we'll keep you guys posted of where I'm going to show up here and there and see what happens. But I know one thing. I'll be on 40 meters on 7258 on mid-cars. That'll be a good place to find me. Just come in and ask if I'm there. Mid-cars is a great place. So check it all out, and we'll go from there. So I'm glad this is working. I'm sure it's not working as good as what the other was, but I just want to see if it's going to be passable. So, yep. Georgia, I think we're going to go up to hear what's going on from Cheryl. But why don't you take over, George, and then I'll get set. I don't know if I'll be able to come back on the other, so take over here and you kind of end things up, George.
Okay. Sounds good, Bob. Well, we'll look for you if you get back in here.
Cheryl, are you with us tonight, and do you have any great questions?
Hi there, George. Yes, I'm here. Hi, Bob. Hi, Gordo. Hi, Don. And hi, Ray. How are you tonight in 9JA? I am here, and welcome, Chat Roomers. Nice to see everybody in there tonight. Yes, there's some pretty sterling questions here, and you guys have presented a lot of great material tonight. And talking about Dayton is always an all-time favorite after all. So anyways, let's get started here. First off, for Bob, we would like to know, Scott, KD4EBL, and I would like to know, would you be signing books at Dayton? And if so, when and where? Is that a yes or a no, Bob?
And Bob is not here, so I'll answer for him.
And perfect.
I'll say yes. He'll be signing those books if you can track him down there at the Hall Sound booth. Gordo and I will make sure that he signs it for you.
Roger that. He'll be signing.
Excellent. Perfect. Thanks, guys. That's a confirmation. Then we got thumbs up. Thumbs up for the signing there. Not sure where, though. We can't give that as a confirmation just right now. I'd like this to go to you, Gordo. Hi, Gordo. You look really terrific tonight, I must say. You've outdone yourself there. Very nice. Nice smile, too. Okay, if we have KC0EBL, Steve, he's wondering if you might have done any work on the Armed Forces crossover day. I'm not sure what that is, but planning to work it for the first time this year. That was from KC0EBL, Steve.
Oh, yeah, that was cross band where we would listen in to their band and they would listen in to ours. And, yes, every year I try and take part in that as a member of Navy Marine Mars. It's always sort of fun to play both ham radio as well as military radio all in one. Back to you, Cheryl.
Great. Thanks, Gordo. And then I just wanted to put this comment out. This came from KF4UTH Tom. He really got me going in the chat room here. He says, since he cannot go to Dayton, can I drool on a few things for him? That's pretty cute. But I may or may not be going, so that's not confirmed for me to do that, Tom. But I just wanted to bring that to light here tonight. And since we don't have Bob on here, I can't pose some of these things that I would have, but that's okay. We can always hold him for
an back. Are okay, you back with us, Bob?
Bob is not with us quite yet.
Okay. All right, thanks, guys. And WA6UHA has a question, and I think that I'd like Gordo for you to catch this one. You might have it in the tip of your tongue. The beacon frequency again? That's what he writes in the chat room, the beacon frequency. Do you know that?
That was on 10 megs, and no, I can't remember exactly what the beacon frequency was, but in 2 days, simply play this portion of Ham Nation over again. It's perfect. 10 point something or other.
Okay, very good. Yeah, there's always the replay that will come up for you guys to catch that. NA5C, Steve shoots another one at you, Gordo. I said you were kind of like all eyes are on you tonight. I specifically asked for questions for you tonight. He says, how many pickles are you going to plan on frying on Dayton weekend? Do you have a number or would you be doing that at all maybe?
Well, our record is 4 pickles. That draws about 8 to 10 amps at 110 AC. I don't trust the wiring at Hera Arena to quite handle that amount of current. So we may only do 1 or 2 off 110 volts AC. 1 or 2.
I believe you, Gordo. I really do. And someone else in there made just a comment about it. And they said, will the pickles be purple? I really think they'll be green to start with. Isn't that right?
They'll be green, but because they have sodium, absolutely correct, they will glow purple.
Wow, that's really nice to know. There you go. I think I've seen that once. You had it on Ham Nation one time and from an older episode. It was really kind of neat. Okay, let's move on. We have Nick Tesla. He says, that's his handle in the chat room. He says, what's the opinion on D-Star? Some say it's a hype. Some think it's the future of amateur radio. I came back with D-Star is great network for hams to contact each other with little investment or restraint on antennas for HF radio. Is it a big impact on ham radio right now? Is it popular? Is it growing? I'm going to give that to you, George.
It is growing. You know, when I before I got into D-Star, I really didn't know. But now that I've got a radio, yes. You can always find some activity on there. I know a lot of people
not really on board with it, you know, saying that, that they're going to wait or that they don't think we need digital. But if you get on there and listen, you'll find out there's quite a bit of activity there, and it's growing all the time.
Oh, thanks. Perfect. Very nice to take the helm on that one, George. And I'm going to throw another one at you from Web5132 said, will anodizing an aluminum antenna hurt its performance at all, George?
I don't believe so because, you know, television antennas are all anodized. What do you think about that, Gordo?
No, I think the skin effect is going to flow just fine through both anodized as well as bare aluminum. Not a problem.
All right, then. And two more questions. And one is a question for you, Gordo. K5LN Bill, I know you know who that is, he asks, can you please let the chat roomers and the podcasters know and our viewers know where to find out more about the special event to look up the calls on QRZ? I think he's talking about the special event station. Could you shed a little more light on that, please?
Okay, what we're going to do is next week we'll have all of the call signs, so I guarantee, and Bill, I'm glad you brought that up, we will repeat all of the call signs again and where to QSL for the great QSL cards that we'll be coming up with. So we'll have that information a week from tonight.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I've had a little preliminary look at some of those cards and certificates, and they're coming around quite nicely. The guys have done a really fine, fine job on that, and thank you for all your time and talent on that, guys. And here's one for George and then Gordo, because he said, question for the group, what is the coolest clock you ever have had in your shack? Starting with you, George. Go ahead.
Well, you can't see it, but it's right up here above me. It's an MFJ analog clock that's got 24 hours on it, and it's got all the different continents on it from around the world so that you can easily tell what time it is where. Unfortunately, the battery's dead in it right now, so I can't tell you what time it is, Cheryl.
Well, next time we'll have to have the batteries in it. Maybe you'll put it up on the backdrop after you've talked about it. Maybe we could follow up with maybe put it back there by the tools perhaps next time. That sounds like a really interesting piece. And Gordo, how about you?
Oh, it's got to be the Kenwood clock. They don't make it anymore.
Wow.
Found this one just the other day. But the Kenwood clock is the coolest ham radio clock with multi-time zones. No, it doesn't have a WWV receiver built in. But it's cool. Yeah, there you go. That's probably it. To counter Kenwood, it's the ICOM analog or the Kenwood digital. And I'm sure Yaesu has a clock as well.
Wow, that's really neat. Well, I get questions on my little black clock behind me sometimes. And people say, where'd you get that little black clock? And it just says what country it's from. There's no model, maker, or otherwise. And also those little glowing balls when I talk that blink on or I can have them blinking came originally from Gordo. And I don't think they're anywhere else that you could really order those either. So there's none of those. But I love all your clocks, guys. They really look neat. Maybe if you have them plugged in so everybody can actually see them. Yeah, sometime on, that would even be better. So let's try that for maybe next week if we could. But I think that's pretty much gonna wrap it up for now. And thank you, everybody, for coming and letting us join you in your homes and offices and cars and everything else. We really enjoy having you, and you have a great night. We really appreciate your joining us. And you have a great time, and we'll see you next time. Same Twitch channel. Next week. So have a great night, 73. Come and see me on 3850. I guess the frequency is better on 3850. I've been typing 3847 all night, but that'll be the after show QSO, 73 K9BIK.
Okay, thanks, Cheryl. We'll look forward to seeing you again next week. You know, Bob and Gordo are going to be gone, so it's just you, me, and Don, and we're going to have a heck of a time, but don't let them know that yet.
All right, good, we won't sweat that.
Yeah. Gordo?
Hey, George,
yes, Bob?
George, I got a note from Don on this, so you've been busted.
Uh-oh. Well, I'll let you take the helm back, Bob.
Okay. I'm done spearminting. Hams are supposed to do that, right? Well, that's what I was doing. So that's cool. I'll try taking my iPad, and maybe we'll stream some stuff. We'll keep you guys posted. As I said, I'll be on mid-cars. If you just listen around on 7258, mid-cars is a great place. It's a place you go meet people and then move off to another frequency. Or just call in there and give you a call and say you're looking for that clown that's running around from Ham Nation. Now, give me a call on mid-cars, and if I'm listening, well, we'll call in. Away we go. So that's it for now. Oh, by the way, while I was changing my stuff back to the big rig here, the beacon frequency is 10.12925. 10.12925. So there you go. So, Gordo, everything going to be closed up in Costa Mesa, and you're going to go find the 40-meter guys, I'd imagine, huh?
Trying to...
Yep, we've got them tuned in now.
But it seems like you're right over the top of them. Anyways...
All right. Yeah, we'll be listening here. I'll also try the 20-meter 14-268, see what happens there. And we'll definitely give it a shot there on good old 75 meters. We'll be around after a while there. So thanks, everybody, for watching and putting up with all this craziness. But it's Dayton, so we get... Everybody gets real silly around Dayton time because we're so anxious to get there. And I hope to see you there. Please come by and say hello at the Ham Nation booth. And we have a lot of the viewers, and we appreciate you guys so much. Going to value, give your valuable time to us to man that booth. So that's really wonderful. And so I'll look forward to meeting some of you. And George will be there. Gordon will be there on and off. We'll be in and out of the booth. But thanks to you, we'll have somebody there. And we got things to give out, little tinker cards and stuff for some of the guys. But come see us. Otherwise, it's next week. You'll be hosted by George and Don, Cheryl, Amanda. Who knows what's going to be here next week. So you'll probably have a lot of fun while we're driving and flying. So take care, y'all. Thanks very much for tuning in. And thanks very much to the crew at the studio back in Petaluma. Thanks so much. And, of course, Leo Laporte, you're a real, real gem to give us this bandwidth. So we'll see you next week right here on Ham Nation. Pass the word. Put Ham Nation into Google. It's not hard to find. Put Ham Nation into Google. Be sure and watch some of the replays because we get more counts if you do that. So we're going to go fire up some of this stuff behind us, and we'll see you on the air. Thanks very much, everybody. 7-3. This is K9 EID.